conference ever there. Olga Moriarty, who we had on the show last week, conference organizer, she said on Sunday morning she thought she had never seen the place as packed as it had been for the keynote address by Andrew Meyer, who we also had on last week on Saturday. And I think the Sunday crowd was bigger than the Saturday crowd. I don't know, I think James Howard Kunstler a couple years ago packed in almost as many people, maybe as many people, as Andrew Meyer did talking about what's going on with the food hub in Hardwick. But still, it's a big crowd. All the classrooms that I went to that had the breakout sessions were completely full. Most of them had lots of people sitting on the floor, standing in the back, sitting in the aisles, standing in the aisles. Just a tremendous outburst of interest in the subject of NOFA Vermont Winter's Conference, which was Grow It Here, growing food to support ourselves here in Vermont and keep our food dollars within the Vermont economy. And to talk about that and other issues, we have, the director of Rural Vermont, Amy Schollenberger. Amy, welcome back to Equal Time.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks for having me on.
So why don't you begin? We've had you on before a bunch of times, but why don't you begin by reminding us what Rural Vermont is and who the members are?
Sure. Well, Rural Vermont is a statewide advocacy organization, and our mission is economic justice for family farmers. We believe that farmers should get a fair price for their products, and so we work on policies that get us toward that goal. We also have a vision for what we call food with dignity, that is about building local food systems from the soil up. And our members are a wide variety of people. A lot of farmers are members of Rural Vermont. A lot of people who aren't farmers are members of Rural Vermont. But we're all working together towards those same goals.
And every year at the NOFA conference, I see you and your staff and volunteers out there in force. You must find a very sympathetic audience at the NOFA conference.
We do love the NOFA conference, and we have staffed the action table at lunchtime there for the past few years, and we always get a really nice response to it. And this year, we were really focused on encouraging people to turn out for that hearing that you've been talking about.
And I heard that again and again, not only from the speaker's rostrum in the main hall, but also in the classrooms. They had something on the chalkboards encouraging people to go. So likely to see a lot of people there, I think.
I hope so. I'm really hoping we can fill the House chamber, which seats about 250 people easily. So I'd really like to see it packed as solid as that keynote address at the NOFA conference.
What do you expect the main issues to be coming up tomorrow evening?
Well, I'm really excited about the hearing because what the agriculture committees have asked for are they want both what is the vision that what do we really want to see in Vermont in terms of food and farming, and they want to hear from people who live here what their vision is, but at the same time they also want really specific things. What can we do as a state to encourage that vision to happen? And so I think we'll hear a broad range of issues coming up because there are so many good things happening in Vermont, a lot of good ideas out there, anything from, you know, some stuff we're working on, like selling more raw milk, all the way to producing different kinds of energy in the state. So I think from what I've been hearing, a lot of people are really seeing this as an opportunity, and I think they're right. This is an opportunity. If you've had something that you've really wished the state would do to encourage a local food system, this is the time to get it out there and get it on the table.
Are you asking supporters of any particular issues to come wearing any particular colors, or is this more just a brainstorming session?
No. Well, we're not asking anybody to do anything specific, such as you know we have in the past done that, wear a certain color shirt or something. But I think that we are asking people to really speak to the issues that you really care about. We're hoping that you know some of our issues will get on the list. But it's really, the committees have been really clear that they don't want it to be a rally for a specific bill. They really want to hear in people's own words what are their ideas for what the committee should be working on.
But not too many of their own words.
Well, 2 minutes, right. You can say a lot in 2 minutes, but right. probably 500 words or so.
Right. So with that 2-minute limit, it's important to, if you want to get a message across, to write it down, practice it, make sure you're saying exactly what you want to say in those 2 minutes you have the legislator's attention.
Right. And we do, by the way, have a tip sheet on our website, not with talking points, but just tips for how to write effective testimony, and that's on the front page of ruralvermont.org if anybody wants to download it.
That's ruralvermont.org. And do you recommend that people bring in written copies of their testimony?
It helps, especially if you have more to say than you can say in 2 minutes. You can speak for 2 minutes and then supplement with written testimony as well. And it is absolutely fine to read if you're, you know, if you're nervous or whatever, it's fine to just read your statement right off your paper as well.
What sort of people do you anticipate will be speaking? Is it mostly farmers? Is it people who eat food in general, or what?
Well, I'm really hopeful that it will be a lot of farmers, because I think that it's pretty rare that farmers get a special invitation to come to the State House. And I really hope that folks will take advantage of that. But I also suspect that there will be a lot of people who simply eat food. You know, we all eat food. I think I've heard from a few people who do community gardens that they're planning to go. I've heard some composters who are planning to go. So I think I'm hoping to see the broad range of the food system community there. At the hearing.
We're talking with Amy Schollenberger. She's the director of Rural Vermont, about a hearing that will take place of both the House and the Senate Ag Committees, Agricultural Committees, together tomorrow night, Tuesday night, from 7 to 9 p.m. in the Well of the House, the State House in Montpelier. If you'd like to join the conversation about food and agricultural issues in Vermont, our local number is 244-1777, or you can call us toll-free, 877-291-8255. Before we talk more about food and the future of farming, I just want to make sure that we get a chance to talk about hot chocolate and dramatic readings. We've got one of those that Rural Vermont is sponsoring on Wednesday night.
That's right, and I highly recommend these. These are a lot of fun. The one on Wednesday night is at the Congregational Church in Danville, which is across from the Danville Creamery, from 7 to 8:30. It's free, and it features farmers reading passages from their favorite books about farming or agriculture, and also hot chocolate made from raw milk and fair trade chocolate.
So that's 7 to 8:30 in Danville Wednesday night at the Congregational Church in Danville. And as more of those come up in the coming weeks, then I'll be announcing them right here on Equal Time. I want to, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Amy, I interviewed some people at the NOFA conference and asked them what they thought about the future of food and farming in Vermont. And I'd like to just play a couple of those interviews now and get your reactions to them.
Great.
Ian Gillespie, Putney, Vermont. I envision a state where there are scattered small farmers and farms that are supplying more and more of the food that's eaten in Vermont, and basically moving towards food sovereignty. Mm. And I think that to achieve that goal, it's going to be a matter of making it a little more financially viable to be a small farmer, and also getting the youth involved. The biggest policy I know about that I think would be a huge thing that would make it a lot, that would do a lot for small farmers, is making it legal for farmers to be doing their own slaughtering on farm and selling that meat.
Larry Abel from South Woodbury, Vermont. I sell sprouts and shoots and eggs and small berries.
And what would you like to see in the future of food and farming in Vermont?
Freer, easier access to farmers markets. I was unfortunately locked out of Burlington Farmers Market due to an inability to acquire insurance.
Hmm.
And that has forced me to lose access to a market of a size that I was looking forward to expanding into. Hmm.
Jeffrey?
Two people I talked to yesterday at the NOFA Winter Conference in Randolph. Amy Schollenberger, your response.
Well, those I agree with both of those folks, and I was really excited to hear the phrase food sovereignty. That's a concept that we fully support at Rural Vermont, and what that simply means is that farmers should have the first right to local markets, and people in a community should have the first right to the food that's grown in the community. And I didn't catch the person's name, but you know, they mentioned the on-farm slaughter issue, and being able to sell animals to your neighbors is a really important thing for local food security and for health as well. And that's something we've been working on for a few years.
What's the status of legislation around that?
Well, as you may know, a bill passed last year that would actually clarify that this is indeed legal to do, that you could sell me a beef cow and when it's alive, and I could contract with you to raise it and have it killed on your farm, and then I would get the meat from that cow. And that bill is scheduled to go into effect in April, but the Agency of Agriculture has actually come to the House Agriculture Committee and asked them to repeal that bill because they don't believe that it is within the state's right to have that be legal in the state.
They don't believe it's within the state's right? They think it's a federal issue?
Yes, it is. It is in fact a federal issue, and our interpretation of the federal law is different than the Agency of Agriculture's. But they believe that the only way that it's allowed is if there's a slaughter facility available for the animal to be killed in. So there would have to be a building with, you know, a concrete floor and a floor drain and washable walls and stainless steel counters and those sorts of things.
Now, am I remembering correctly that this is a bill that legislators in Maine, or rather the Ag Agency in Maine, did not think that they needed passed? They simply interpreted state and federal law as written for Vermont in such a way that allowed people to do on-farm slaughter like this?
Well, it's interesting because we've heard from farmers in Maine that it is legal, but when the officials were asked, they said that they don't actually condone it. But we talked to several farmers in the state who, you know, were doing it with no problem. So it's hard to say what the reality is.
Sounds like they don't spend a lot of money enforcing the law in any case.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Now, what about Larry Abel, who said that he was cut out of or closed out of the Burlington farmers market because he couldn't get the insurance for it? Is Rural Vermont working on that issue at all?
We are working on that issue. For folks who may not know, there is an issue that is right now, I think, isolated to the Burlington farmers market, where the city of Burlington had a citywide policy that anybody who vends products on city property needs to have liability insurance, and both trip and fall liability and product liability insurance. And so all of the vendors at the Burlington market were required to get this insurance in order for the market to continue their lease, because they have their market on city property. And I've heard that there were a few people who either were unable to get the insurance or couldn't afford it. And several farmers across the state have called us and said that they're really worried about this, that, you know, if this is a requirement, several things could happen. And based on our initial research, one issue is that the insurance companies don't really like the way that Vermont farmers markets are set up. And in most states, a farmers market is defined in statute, and it's only agricultural products, so there aren't any craft vendors, for instance. And the insurance companies would like that to be true here. So one potential consequence could be that markets would be limited as to who could vend at the markets. Another potential is that your markets might consolidate to the areas where there are more customers available because of the cost associated with the insurance if the farmer needs to get a higher return each week in order to feel like the cost of the insurance is worth it. They might, for instance, only go to the Montpelier market instead of the Plainfield market or the Barry market.
I'm curious as to why the farmers market would require all of its, each of its vendors to have their own insurance rather than going in on a policy together, which I would think would be less expensive.
Well, it's an issue because the way markets are set up, you know, there's the farmers market board usually, and then a farmers market manager, and then there are the individual vendors, and each of those different categories of people can potentially have liability. And so basically what we found and what the insurance companies tend to say is that everybody needs to have insurance at all the different levels.
Probably should make sure the customers have insurance.
Yeah, right. So anyway, we're researching this issue. We had a colloquium that was co-sponsored by the Vermont Law School in the fall to get some more information about what exactly the issue is. And the Senate Agriculture Committee just had a little hearing on this issue. I believe it was on Thursday morning, where we testified and NOFA testified and the Agency of Agriculture testified. And right now it seems like, for the most part, the markets are not going in this direction. And so we're trying to take the time now to figure out what is a good solution. And I know NOFA's done a lot of work on this as well, to try to figure out what is a good solution for Vermont so that we can keep the vibrant farmers market system that we have right now and make sure everybody has access to local food and also deal with any potential issues that might come up.
We're going to go to the phone in just a minute, but I want to ask you, what do the insurance companies have against craft vendors, at farmers markets?
Apparently, you know, this, I just want to say this is not my opinion, but apparently craft vendors, according to insurance companies, are riskier because they might have things like choking hazards, small buttons, or, heavy things that could fall on your toe or... I don't know. I mean, just in their risk assessment, for some reason, craft vendors are riskier than agricultural product vendors.
Yeah. Okay. I don't understand that either, but thanks for working on that.
Sure.
We're going to go to Northfield, where Scott's been waiting patiently. Hello, Scott.
Hi. How are you? Thanks. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Hi. We've talked before, and my wife and I were formerly members of NOFA. We may continue again. We're not sure. It seemed like I'm calling in regards to the farm show and NOFA as well. Comparing the two is like comparing apples to oranges, and I just wondered if you ever thought about a way to join the people from the farm show and intertwine them with the people from NOFA, because comparing the two, to me, as an outsider looking in, it appears that the NOFA gathering is, it appears to me that they're a lot of pretty well-off folks. I dare to say trust fund children in regards to the farm show type farmers. And I just wondered if that ever has been an issue.
How many times have you gone to the NOFA conference, Scott?
About four.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. And in most recent years, not this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't re-up, partly due to financial crisis and, the situation that's happening all over.
Mm.
And it seemed like there was a lot of ideas there, but they're pretty costly in terms of trying to implement them. And I didn't seem to have any avenue for funding or grants or anything like that. I know there's some people there that help with that. But you didn't tell me you didn't get some sort of a feeling in that regard in some way, shape, or form?
I didn't, no. I see the people at NOFA as more actively involved in farming than a lot of the people at the farm show, actually. I mean, obviously there are a lot of farmers who go to the farm show, but the farm show is an event more open to people who are interested in farming but may not be doing any farming of their own. But I may be wrong about that.
No,
Amy, what's your response?
Well,
beg to differ there. Those are real farmers.
Sure, I guess I wouldn't make that judgment necessarily about the farm show. And I want to clarify a couple things. One is that I represent rural Vermont and not NOFA, so that's okay. You might want to ask Dave later when he's on about his response. But rural Vermont does actually table at the farm show as well. We have tabled in the equipment barn at the farm show for I don't know how many years now. And so we do see the benefit of being in both places, and actually our membership is quite diverse. We certainly have quite a few folks who are certified organic as members, but we also have quite a few farmers who are not certified organic, and see that as really critical to having the diversity of farms in the state and supporting all of the farmers in the state to get a fair price for their products when they're producing them.
And NOFA, of course, is the Northeast Organic Farming Association.
Right, so their focus is a little different from ours. But I think that, regardless of what your background is in terms of your family and whether you have personal wealth or not, we believe if you're producing a product and selling it, you should get a fair price for it, and you should be allowed to access markets, and you should be able to compete fairly in those markets.
Right.
And you should not be required to do things that cost a lot of money that don't necessarily help anybody. And so we advocate for all farmers in that regard.
Okay, well, I'd like to see the farm show, the real farmers, and then the other small farmers from NOFA and rural Vermont somehow joined together rather than just a table at farm show. I don't know if there could be like a separate, entity that would gather the two forces.
I guess I would just say I don't see them as separate forces. That was my point. I'm sort of struggling a little bit with your distinction of real farmers versus other farmers, because I think anybody who calls himself a farmer is a farmer as far as I'm concerned. But I think that there are those different forces aligned in our organization, and we have a very diverse membership, and so I think it's already happening, not sure it's maybe they're all at the NOFA conference, because that's a very targeted conference. But we're not the NOFA conference, so
Right, okay. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Sure.
But I just wanted to bring that issue up.
Okay, thanks for your call, Scott.
Thank you.
And Amy, I know that you're in the middle of a bunch of meetings all day today.
I am.
I promise to not keep you here too long. Anything else you want to leave us with before you go?
I just want to say to anybody listening, if you are thinking, should I go to that hearing tomorrow night, I really want to encourage you to please go. And even if you don't think you're going to speak, please go and support the people who are speaking, and consider if you have something to say, please say it, because this is a great opportunity for us.
And that hearing once more is in the State House, in the well of the House, starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Tuesday night.
Right.
Very good. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Amy.
Sure. Thank you, Carl.
And what we're going to do right now is listen to just a few more of the people that I spoke with yesterday at the NOFA Vermont Winter Conference at VTC, the Vermont Technical College campus in Randolph, about their ideas on farming and food in Vermont.
Hey, Ellis in Hardwick. I work in a small-scale bakery that uses local grains, and we grow our own food, and we support local food systems, and I think the biggest challenge for the future of farming is affordable, accessible land for young farmers, and addressing that somehow. One way, I actually asked the governor about taxing second and third homeowners a little heavier, and shifting that to some kind of funding program to help farmers get on the land. Just basically, there's a lot of land that could be used in the state that isn't being used because landowners own it from somewhere else and they don't do nothing with it. So maybe having that land accessible to farmers.
Deborah DeLuca from Burlington, Massachusetts, but I'm going to school in Vermont, Green Mountain College. What we're doing at school is sort of a fossil-free agriculture with draft animals and kind of progressing past oil use, and especially with a lot of things the school is doing. So I definitely see that as a future in agriculture becoming, like, it's really important to become independent of fossil fuels completely, either for fertilizers or for tractors or maneuvering through that. So I think that's one of the biggest issues.
Those were a couple people that I talked to yesterday in Randolph at the Vermont Technical College campus, NOFA Vermont Winter Conference. And we'll be hearing directly from NOFA in just a minute. Dave Rogers, who's their policy guru, will be on the phone with us. I'll be back right after this.
The best Division III college hockey is played at Kreitzberg Arena, and the best way to enjoy the games is to join the Norwich Hockey Blue Line Club. Each